Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Shady Rays. SGPN is teaming up with Shady Rays for Shady May. Get 50% off your Shady Rays using promo code SGPN. And then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win $500. We're also brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
Hi-yo, Degenerinos, welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 349, has to be dedicated to my one and only co-host, Daniel Gumby-Vreeland, who was almost perfect last night at UFC, whatever it was called, Dern versus Hill, UFC fight night, Dern versus Hill. He made my 10-2 evening look poor as he went 11-1. So this one goes out to Gumby. Hopefully everyone listening tailed our picks last night because we had a good time. I am one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. Maybe we had a good time because it was mostly a chalky card and we picked pretty much all the chalk to come through. I'm not sure what we'll discuss that very, very shortly. Let's bring in the man of the hour right now, the man himself, Daniel Gumby-Vreeland, to discuss the event. Hello.
It was chalky, but there was, we hit a negative 130. We hit a plus 102. There was a pick'em, it's a little on the chalky side, but it wasn't entirely chalky.
No, yeah, the biggest hit was minus 210, so or the worst hit you could say was minus 210. So yeah, all of our picks were actually, we had minus 800. I forgot about that. other than that, all the other ones were all in the basically minus 100 range. So yeah, it was a profitable night, and it looks like it was with all our friends in the Discord too, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Everyone was having a good evening, hitting their picks, hitting parlays, hitting props, all that good stuff.
Yeah, it seemed like everybody was having a good night. So, props to everybody. Oh, I was supposed to send a shout out. Hang on one second. Supposed to send a shout out because you usually ask me who we want to dedicate it to. Get good, yeah, well, McRex.
We have more episodes, remember.
No. But this is a Dern versus Hill specific shout out. It's get okay, good. Go Get good McRect, I believe right. It is in the Discord, who's regularly in there. He did not listen to the usual slogan of this network and quote unquote let it ride, but he did hit 9 out of 10 legs on a massive parlay that he had and cashed out early at like 111-1 or something like that. The parlay hit, and then the only other leg that he had that he cashed out early on was. He had Mackenzie Dern inside the distance, and he would have just been livid if he had not cashed it out. So props for him for tailing along with all of our good picks and then also getting out when the getting was good.
And if you're not in the Discord, you got to get in now because we have new emojis. Gumby has started us up, and he made a Gumby. As in the cartoon character Gumby emoji. So then I had to make one, the only picture of me on my phone, me with snow all over my face. I had to make that an emoji. And then we have a Gianni emoji for anytime things don't go well. Well, we have a Yanni the Greek emojis.
How come I didn't? So, I must have missed.
Get in there, have some fun.
I must have missed the Yanni the Greek one. Yeah.
Yeah. Turnip asked for it, and he got it. I found the best picture where he's like tan beyond tan, and he's basically. You just see his teeth shining. It's beautiful. So anytime someone you didn't see it because no one was losing last night. That's why.
Yeah, that's true. There were no picks to have to use the Ani for.
It's true. It's very true. All right, we should dive into it after I tell you about our sponsor off the top of the show today. Who is our sponsor? It's Edge Boost. SGPN is excited to announce an exclusive early access partnership with Edge Boost, the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Similar to buy now, pay later programs like Affirm and Afterpay, Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest and pay back the advance over four equal weekly installments. That's right, 0% interest. Simply deposit funds into your account and Edge Boost will match the deposit so you can use two times the funds on any legal sports betting site. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in advances as you build a repayment history. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That is sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge, E-D-G-E. You must be 21 years or older to use. Only valid in legal gambling states. Problem gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. How did your Edge Boost double down plays you gave us? How do they do? One of them was a UFC one. It did good. It was fair, I think, right?
Yeah, and then I think I said to bet the Braves, but I can't remember what day I told you to pick the Braves.
That would have been Wednesday, I guess. I think Wednesday evening.
I can't tell you if they won on Wednesday or not. I have no idea.
What's today's play then? The Braves again? Or
no,
Jared, better play today?
No, Jared Schuster is throwing for the Braves today, so don't bet Jared Schuster. No, let's take the Cubbies over the Phillies because I hate the Phillies.
All right. That's your Edge Boost double down play of the day. Gumby playing with his heart, telling you to go against the Phillies. All right. Last night, everything went pretty good. UFC fight night, Dern versus Hill, UFC Vegas 73, all that stuff. It was at the UFC Apex. Not only did we nail pretty much all our picks, but it was a pretty fun event overall. We did have a couple, since we last recorded, we did have a couple weigh-in snafus. Vanessa Demopoulos weighed in at 117.5, which was fine by us because we picked against her. And then Mr. Koske, Orion Koske, who I was kind of, that fight was pretty much a toss-up for me, Urbina versus Koske. So when he missed weight, I would have, if we were picking, I would have picked against him. And I would have been correct, like Dan was, because he did not look good at all. So we'll get to that soon. But anyhow, once again, don't bet fighters that miss weight unless you think they have a massive skill advantage heading into the fight. So anyhow, see how I hedged one of my losses right there. I told you I wouldn't have picked it in real life. See, good, right?
Yeah,
I'm like you. I'm learning.
That's not gonna save you. You lost to me for what is this, fifth consecutive week?
Maybe. We'll do a recap at the end. I'm still more than twice better than Gumby. Don't worry. All right, Mackenzie Dern was way more than twice better than Angela Hill. It's Angela Hill was tough. That's pretty much what you can give her coming out of this fight. But you don't want that to be the only praise you get coming out of a fight, because that means you got your ass whipped pretty much. So that's what happened. Mackenzie Dern, super aggressive. Apparently her ex-husband looks like Angela Hill, because that looked like what she was thinking in the cage. 49-43, 49-44, 49-44. I would have accepted 50-42 as well. Hill, I guess, won, what, second round? I guess, but it was close. I still think Dern was landing the more stronger and more dangerous strikes, but Hill outstruck her a little bit. So fine, give Hill a round, but I could have seen Dern winning every round on the card. She was super dangerous on the feet and super dangerous on the ground, but Hill hung in there.
Yeah, Hill got the second round on the judges' scorecards. I still leaned towards Dern on that one. I think sometimes, and I could totally be wrong on this, I think when it's a close fight where it looks like a close fight early, I think the judges tend to give the second round to the person who lost the first round if it's close. Being that, like, they're like, oh, this is
better. Yeah.
Yeah, this looks like a close fight. I don't really want the losing fighter to be down two rounds. Plus, like you said, they looked a little bit better than they did in the first round. But, like, I didn't think she won anything. And she definitely got 10-8'd late in the fight. So, yeah, I mean, like, this is the thing about Angela Hill. You're right. She's, like, tough. She's strong. But, like, if somebody asked you to tell me what was good about Angela Hill, like, what is Angela Hill good at?
Volume striking?
Yeah, it's, like, not an easy answer, right?
Not dangerous striking. Not, like, always super effective striking, but volume striking. Like, she's 10-13 in the UFC. Like, we got to lay that out right there. Like, it's not like she is a world beater, even though she was ranked heading into this fight.
Yeah, and a lot of that, you know, like that terrible record, I think sometimes gets excused because they're like, oh, she fights on short notice, she'll fight any weekend and stuff like that. But also, like, she it's not like her resume is filled with like world beaters. You know what I mean? She's fought, you know, Amanda Lemos and Virna Jandiroba, but she's also fought like Ashley Yoder and Hannah Cyphers and Jody Esquibel, and you know, like actually she beat Hannah Yoder twice. You know, like it's not like her record is like littered with really good fighters. And I think apart from like Lupita Godinez, which was a short notice fight up a weight class, or it might have been catch weight, I can't remember. Like, there's really not like an impressive win on there, right? Like, I can't think of somebody she beat where I'm like, oh shit, yeah. No, like losses to Randa Markos, Courtney Casey, Claudia Cadelia, Michelle Waterson. Like, anytime she's asked to fight somebody who like could even sniff the top 10, she's not there. And you know, that's not shade on her. It's just like, she's not that fighter.
Very true. So is this saying we're not impressed with Dern's performance or not?
No, she looked impressive. She did the types of things she has to do to beat somebody like that and prove she belongs at the top. And like, look, her takedown game seems to be getting better. Her jiu-jitsu has always been on point. You know, she got a third stripe on her black belt and it's well-deserved. Her jiu-jitsu looked incredible. And I heard people say like, oh, but she didn't get the submission. I can't believe they're giving her a stripe on her black belt. Like, jiu-jitsu doesn't just give you stripes for submissions. Like, her jiu-jitsu looked crisp. It looked great. She passed guard. She looked good when she was getting it to the ground, all that stuff. So, I thought she looked good. She also just, like, looked like she was supposed to in this fight, which, you know, take that for whatever it's worth.
Yep. Very, very true. So who do you want to see her fight next? She was mentioning Rose Namajunas. Who knows if Rose will ever fight again or when?
Yeah, if Rose wants to fight, I'm down with her fighting Rose Namajunas. You know, like, the tough thing is, like, a lot of people in front of her, she's already fought. You know what I mean? Like, she fought Marina Rodriguez. She fought Yan Xiao Nan. Virna Jandiroba, she's already fought and beat. I mean, I guess Tatiana Suarez is supposed to fight Virna Jandiroba next. That fight's coming in like a couple months. Maybe if Tatiana Suarez comes out on top of that fight and you want to see Dern versus Suarez, I'd be down for Dern versus Suarez. But, you know, I think Rose Namajunas is going to keep getting called out because, like, everybody's wondering where her headspace is. So, like, I never really liked fantasy matchmaking with Rose Namajunas. I'll be honest.
Yep. No, it's true. It is true. But anyhow, Dern did what she had to do. I would have liked to see a sub finish since that was my prop pick of the week. But a lot of people were looking for that as well. But she came close, saved by the bell, literally a couple times for Angela Hill. Co-main event, the one miss Dan had. We thought Edmund Shahbazyan was a very solid plus 200 underdog. He did not look so solid. Fluffy Hernandez, wow. He just relentless. Super fluid on the ground. Yeah, he was. He looked like the real deal last night, putting a whooping on Edmund Shahbazyan. TKO, it says elbows and punches, but really it was TKO exhaustion or TKO. I've had enough. 101 into the third round.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this. Like, I had said Edmund Shahbazyan seems like a new man, and that he's really turned his career around, or at least he did in that last fight. I don't know that I still don't believe that, because Fluffy just looked amazing. Like, the time away did him a lot of good. He looked sharp. I don't know what to say here, really, other than Fluffy Hernandez. I thought the layoff was really going to screw him over. He had been almost a full year since he had fought, and I really didn't think he looked all that good in that Marc-Andre Barrio fight anyway. And he came out looking sharp, out-grappled him, looked really good with his hands. His hands have gotten better. You know, just kind of a complete fight. I mean, he looked like a negative 200 favorite, and that's what he was. So, props to him.
He's got to be sniffing the top 15 by now, right? We are talking about middleweight here. He doesn't have a bunch of amazing scalps on his mantle, but he does have Shahbazyan now. So he's got to be close to top 15, right?
I would think so. You could argue what he and Kai Bohio have done look similar, and I think Kai Bohio's right there too. So, like, that actually wouldn't be all that bad of a matchup, right? Kai Bohio versus him.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, I'm down for that one, and then the winner should just 1,000% be ranked. Yeah, because like maybe his run is even a little better than Bohio. Like Bohio's Gadi Omar Gadzaev, Armin Petrosian, Mahmoud Muradov's a good one, and Michael Olszejczyk. And Hernandez is Rodolfo, Josh Frem, Berrio, and Shabazian. Yeah, like Fluffy's might be a bit better, actually.
Yep. Yeah, I agreed. So we shall see what's next for him. We had a catchweight fight was next for us, or actually it was before this. We're doing it in the opposite order here. 120 pounds, Lupi Godinez. The short notice did not affect her, luckily. She was the exception to my rule of picking short notice fighters. The Canadian looked great against the American, Emily Ducote. 30, 27, 29, 28, 29, 28. Once again, this could have been Godinez 3-0. Was frustrating and a little concerning that she shot 2 or 3 takedowns tops, and she was content to box and strike, which was fine because she was winning that fight, but I still think she could have perhaps finished the fight or made it easier on herself if she had grappled. So something I'm gonna have to keep an eye on going forward, picking her. If she's not gonna be the wrestler that she was, and she's gonna be fall in love with striking, and I don't know what the ceiling is gonna be here.
Yeah, a little bit worried on there. I think she was just cruising so much on the feet that she didn't think she had to. But I don't know that that's a good thing either, now that I think about it. Is it good that she could feel she was winning on the feet, and so she didn't do the thing that arguably would have been much easier? You know, that's kind of how you get caught sometimes. So, would have liked to see her wrestle more, but man, she looked good.
Yep. We have seen this before, though, with wrestlers who decide to strike. So we shall just keep it in mind, store it away in your Lupi Godinez file next time she has a fight coming up, especially if you're fighting against someone who is a heavy hitter. Just keep that in mind. All right. Also keep in mind our Shady Rays and Shady May promotion we have going on right now. Shady Rays is teaming up with SGPN for Shady May. Not only do you get an amazing 50% off, but you also have a chance to win $500. Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays have durable frames and extremely optics for outdoor adventures. That's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. If you don't love them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. And for international listeners, Shady Rays has you covered as well with shipping to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. Here's what you need. Do go to shadyrays.com and use code SGPN for 50% off 2 or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Then take your receipt to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady, SHADY, for your chance to win the $500 Shady May contest.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, let's keep moving through the main card here. Joaquin Buckley did what we expected him to do. TKO head kick Andre Fiallo, 4:15 into the second round, and then you got an extra shot in after Fiallo was down and much out of it because the ref did a Herb Dean and kind of stopped the fight, but didn't stop the fight. And anyhow, Numance that came through, minus 210, looked very good. Basically, this is how we expected this fight to turn out. If I think this is the first person we're probably going to fire, right? Fiallo, three straight knockouts, he's probably gone.
Yeah, I didn't realize he had been on such a bad run, but you're right. It kind of feels like, although he's just fun, right? Like that's why they keep putting him in these fights, right? Like his fight with Miguel Baeza was fun, or Pajeda, or Jake Matthews, or like, I mean, he's just like having fun fights. I think he was doing pretty well against Salikov until Salikov just like started gaining momentum. The problem is he's just really hittable, right? Like, I said that on Thursday's show is he's too easy to get hit, too easy to hit. And when you fight guys like Muslim Salikov or Joaquin Buckley or, you know, a lot of welterweights, like there isn't a lot of welterweights who aren't going to knock that dude out. So, it's probably time for Fiallo to go, but it wouldn't surprise me if they give him another run.
Yeah, if you're hittable and you don't have a chin, then yeah, that's a bad matchup. But Buckley, on the positive side, Buckley looked good. Size and strength and everything is still there at welterweight. So, and it brings the power down there. He could be someone to keep an eye on, at least for fun fights.
Yeah, and there's tons of fun fights at welterweight. Welterweight's one of those divisions where, like, just outside of the division might be the most fun spot to watch because it's got like who am I thinking of? Nico Prices of the world. It's right. Got the Max Griffins, like
Alex,
you know, like
Alex Morono.
Yeah, Alex Morono. Although he might not be out of the rankings for much longer, but like those like 18 through 23 in the theoretical rankings here. And that's like a good spot for Buckley to have some like fun fights.
Yep, for sure. Oh, Emily Ducote, I think we're gonna fire her too, Dan.
No.
What?
1,000%.
She's 1-2 now. She's getting axed.
No,
you don't think so? I guess it's not.
I almost guarantee she'll stay. She had a really great fight with Jessica Penne. She took a short notice fight to fight Angela Hill. And then like had to come up in weight to fight Lupita Godinez, because a different opponent pulled out. Like, and granted, I think I pick her against Pollyanna Viana, who she was supposed to fight. She wound up having to take a tougher fighter on short notice. And again, she's losing these fights by decision. She's beaten like most of Invicta's best fighters. Like she beat Juliana Lima. She fought Danielle Taylor. She fought Alicia Zapatella. You know, like I think she's around for at least one more.
All right. The governor has called last second and saved you, Emily Ducote, from execution. All right. The opener of the main card was Carlos Diego Ferreira. You can call him Diego Ferreira if you want, for short, versus Michael Johnson. Knockout punch is what it's listed at. That doesn't really do it justice. 150 in the second round. We had Ferreira. Actually, we had all these picks, of course, other than Shabazzian. We have Ferreira at minus 150. This was Michael Johnson, you need to retire right now, knockout, but he won't because he's an MMA fighter. So he'll get knocked out a couple more times at least before he decides to hang him up.
Yeah. And the thing about him too, is that like, he hasn't really had one of those fights where you were like, you know, like he's
losing.
That's
the problem. That is the problem right there.
Right.
Yeah.
He lost to Jamie Mullarkey. He got submissions with Tiago Moises, you know, Clay Guida out wrestled him. Stevie Ray, Stevie Ray probably lost that fight, but he was given that fight. But like, with the exception of maybe getting knocked out by Josh Emmett, like, and that was at this point, that's got to be like 4 or 5 years ago by now. With the exception of being knocked out by Josh Emmett, like, never have you been like, oh my God, Michael Johnson, this was scary. His legs were stiff. His arms were still in front of him. I mean, Diego Fajeda was trying to like revive him because he was so scared. This was one of those bad ones that when you are, you know, you're already 35 or 36 years old, you fought 40 times.
37 in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Even like, it's time probably. This is it.
But like I said, it won't be, unfortunately. Diego Ferreira needed that win. He was on a skid too. He may have been in trouble of losing his job. So he definitely needed that. Johnson looked good. This is another thing that we always say about fighters that stick around too long. Not that there was any signs that Johnson had stuck around too long until now, but they always look good until they don't. And then they really look bad when they get caught.
Yeah. He
looked good first round.
I wouldn't say he looked good, but he didn't look bad.
Competitive. All right. Bonuses in the main card with Dern and Hill got fight of the night deservedly. And Fihara just got the performance of the night knockout with that one. The next man who got a performance of the night bonus is the next one we're going to talk about. Vyacheslav Borshev. You can call him Slava Claus. This, not only did we get our picks right, but we pretty much, the fights went exactly the way that we hoped they would. He won the striking battle versus Mahashate. TKO punches 237 in the second round and then did a nice little jig. It wasn't a jig, but some kind of Vyacheslav style dance. Minus 155, we had him. And yeah, we said it was going to be a striking battle. It was. And we said that Slava would be the better striker of the two, and he was. Good for us.
I don't know that there's all that much to say here. It's that which is how they Machete. Were saying it on the broadcast. Just the same thing I said about Fiallo. Hard hitter, fun to watch, gets hit too much. Just can't be it. Yep. You can't be at lightweight fighting guys like Slava and get hit too much. Also, you could tell he could feel the strength of Borshev, particularly like he started to wrestle a little bit and I was like, oh, he doesn't like this. It's over. Good to see Slava back on track. I still want to see more of his wrestling defense. I need to see that pick up.
Next fight ended up being a catchweight because Demopoulos, the little, what's her name again?
Little Monster
was a medium sized monster. Not little enough. Came in at 117 and a half. I'm not going to call someone overweight who weighs 117 and a half, but she technically came in overweight for the fight against Karolina Kowalkiewicz. And this fight went the way we thought it would too. Demopoulos just, they kept saying how her strikes were falling short. That's because she's got like little Tyrannosaurus Rex arms. Unfortunately, we always said there was going to be a ceiling to her just because of her physical and athletic limitations. And her reach, 5 inches less reach than Kowalkiewicz, really played up last night. The Polish princess put it on her, as we hoped she would. Demopoulos is too tough to get finished in a fight, but double K came through, minus 130.
Yeah, my lock of the week, by the way. I don't know how this fight was negative 130. This was the least sweaty negative 130 I've ever seen in my whole life.
Yeah, she was never in danger. Never
knew. Yeah, and it's funny because I think we both said when this fight got announced, we're like, oh, Demopoulos. And I think it's just like that recency bias of remembering the bad Karolina Kowalkiewicz rather than the good one.
Yeah, true.
And like she's back to being the good one. Like this, I'm not saying this is the Karolina Kowalkiewicz who ran to a title shot, who beat up Randa Markos and beat up Rose. She beat Rose Namajunas, guys. She beat Rose Namajunas. Like, I don't know that this is that one, but it's also not the one who like got submitted by Jessica Penne or couldn't out wrestle Michelle Waterson. Like, she would beat the pants off of Michelle Waterson right now, I think. I think we need to start handicapping her like she's actually a fighter, or let the books keep getting it wrong and I'll keep cashing negative 130.
Exactly. We will take it. Yeah. She's moving up. She's getting herself close to the rankings again. And that like, strawweight is a super deep division. So we'll see where that headed for her. Hopefully continuously upwards. Another catchweight fight because Ryan Koske came in heavy because he talked to Gumby on his other podcast last week. That's what made him come in heavy. I would have gone against it because this was a toss up for me, but my official pick was Koske. It looked bad right from the jump. This was one of those fights where I knew immediately, oh, this is the wrong pick. If I'm live betting this, I am not picking Koske. Gilbert Urbina looked very good after substantial time on the sidelines. TKO front kick and knees, 255 into the second round in a fight that he just dominated from the opening bell. And Gumby had him in a very, very nice plus 102. Looked like a steal on fight night.
Yeah, he's going to beat a lot of welterweights. And not just the Orion Koskes of the world. But like, again, I think we sleep on the fact that this guy only has two career losses. He lost to Brian Battle, who he was beating. He was beating Brian Battle at the time. And his other loss is Sean Brady. Sean Brady in an LFA title or a title fight? Main event. Might have just been a main event. And Sean Brady did not finish him. Sean Brady went three hard rounds with him. So, like, I think we have to recognize Gilbert Urbina is like kind of good. And he's really big for welterweight. Like he looked like he was in a different weight class than Orion Kotzke. He did not look like the one who was 2 pounds lighter.
Yeah, definitely. I was didn't mention that about the main event too. Dern looked like she was in a different, looked like she was fighting atom weight in Angela Hill. But anyhow, yes. Kotzke, are we getting rid of Kotzke, Dan? He's going to loss, win, loss.
The win is over Blood Diamond too, so that detracts a little bit from it. That's like your only win being Mike Jackson or something like that. It's Mike Jackson. Everybody knows he literally wasn't trying to make a career out of it. He was just doing it for fun. Blood Diamond's trying to make a career out of it and not succeeding yet. I put it this way: I won't be surprised if they cut him. If they cut him, I won't be shocked.
Mahashate, is he safe? And Demopoulos? Demopoulos is safe. She went to 3 straight. So Mahashate, he's lost 2 straight. Is he safe?
I think he's safe because he's fun and he fit the demographic that they're looking for. They're looking for more. Yeah. I mean, we're going to talk about it this week, all this week, road to the UFC. They're trying to bring in more Asian fighters and fighters from that region. So, like, I think he's safe probably.
The next man shouldn't be safe, but since he was on a winning streak heading into this, he may get saved here. Rodrigo Nascimento, he's not the guy I'm talking about. And then he beat Ilir Latifi. Somehow it was a split decision. This was basically the only real bad, the only actually bad at all card on the judges card on the night. 29-28, 28-29, 29-28. Latifi did not win this fight. He was continuously running into jabs by Nascimento, trying to take him down. But yeah, Nascimento picked him apart. Latifi isn't on this level anymore, but he'll probably stick around. It is heavyweight. And he was on a winning streak.
He looked really out of shape. And I know he's 5'10".
He's getting thicker and thicker.
He's 5'10", 250, and like he's always been a thick guy. Maybe this is this me being picky or something like that. But like, he didn't look strong either. That is probably the part that looked most alarming to me. Is like, he looked big without looking strong. And like, all he's ever been is strong. Right, like that's all he's ever been able to do. And he just, man, dude, he can't get inside on a heavyweight. And I know Zekomilia is like kind of a longer heavyweight anyway, but like he just couldn't get in on him. So like, what are you going to do at heavyweight if you can't get inside? I gotta worry about that.
Yep, you're going to run into punches like he did last night over and over and over and over. All right, the next man, Chase Hooper. Boy, he looked good. The Dream, I say his new nickname should be the Hunk, because he's grown up, Dan, right before our eyes. Body's filling out. He looked fantastic against Nick Fury. Unanimous decision, 30-26, 30-27, 30-27. This was a underdog pick for us, and boy, did it come through. Plus 116. Now, I have to remember, though, Hooper always wins, loss, and he's done it again. 7 straight fights where he swapped wins and losses. So next fight, get ready to fade him. But he looked good tonight.
Do you think... Do you think coming up to lightweight was the best move for him? Do you think he looked better technically? Do you think he just looked better physically? Do you think he just had a step down in opponents? How are you recapping how good he looked?
Probably all a mixture of it all. I think moving up to lightweight seems to have, it seems to have helped him physically. He's definitely getting bigger, growing into his body. Striking looked very good. He was very aggressive off the get-go, and it wasn't just Fury was willing to grapple with me, but most of the fight was grappling. Probably a little bit of everything, just him maturing and physically getting stronger. So lightweight probably is the right move, yeah, because he still had his speed and everything too.
Yeah, I think you're right. The speed was there. It clearly looks like he improved in boxing. I also just think he was more confident than he ever has been. He looked really sure of himself no matter what he was doing. And he was piecing up Nick Fury. I don't mean to drop an axe here, but I think that's got to be it for Fury, right?
Yeah. You don't want to drop an axe this one. Yeah. He's lost 2 straight, and he didn't quit last night, but yeah, he was very close. He was having more than enough on the feet. He was kind of waiting for the ref to step in, and it never happened, but yeah, I wouldn't, be sad if he goes back to the regional scene and gets more experience, learns a new hold, and gets called back up.
Yeah, and I would just say, too, like, I know it's tough to, like, look at his record and be like, well, he lost to Matthews Rebecki on short notice, but, like, he's now lost to Matthews Rebecki and Chase Hooper, both by getting badly outboxed by both. And, like, those two guys are grapplers. You know what I mean? Like, and both of them outboxed him. Yeah. So, yeah, and to your point, I mean, he's only got 5 career wins, and 2 of them are Jay Ellis, so he's really only got 4 career wins. So, like, maybe just some more time, I think.
Because he's a kid, too. He's only, what, 24, I think? If Hooper's 22, then Ferreira would be, like, 24. So, yeah, maybe he got called up a bit too soon. He was up in the UFC after 6 fights. That's probably not enough for a young guy like that. This lady did not get called up too soon, hence her minus 800 line. Natalia Silva in a flyweight fight. Once Victoria Leonardo got hit by her, she had enough. She was looking for this fight to end. She saw it on her face. TKO punches and head kick. Could have ended a lot sooner, it seems, than the 258 it lasted, because, like I said, Leonardo, once she felt that power, that was enough for her.
Yeah, I think we're going to keep seeing these types of fights from Silva until they give her a bigger step up. Did you notice on the knockout kick, it looked like her toes wrapped around the guard and just, like, kicked her in the cheek, despite the fact that, like, it looked mostly blocked? Man, she is just so damn precise. I love it. So, yeah, onwards and upwards for her. Let's get her a real opponent for once.
And she even waved off the GOAT translator and did the interview herself in English last night.
Yeah, she knows, similar to, let's call that Kai Bohio for a second time here. Yeah. She's a Brazilian who understands the assignment, much like Kai Bohio does. Is like, if you can do this interview in English, the fans are going to get behind you a lot quicker.
Yep. Leonardo, we're firing her too. I'm firing lots of people today. The UFC roster is too big, so she's getting fired too. 1-3 in the UFC.
Well, and we're about to hit Contender Series. Starts in, what, 2 months? Right about 2 months from now?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they got to clear the decks.
They got to clear the decks. And Road to the UFC starts, what does it start? Saturday and Sunday.
Something like that coming up.
Yeah, they're coming up. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, 1-3, and the win is Mandy Bohm. So, I don't think that's a great run.
Yep, there you go. That's, scarlet letter there for sure. All right, and Takashi Sato, we're picking him too. He's lost 4 straight. He probably shouldn't have even picked up this fight. Themba Greenbo. Got the job done in the curtain jerker for us. 32-27 across the board. Grappling heavy, as we expected. It was a pick-em fight, so we had him at minus 110, which was nice.
Yeah, I was only a little bummed that he didn't get the finish. I had him by submission as my prop. It's It's pretty much the only thing I missed all day. So that's kind of...
Sorry to interrupt the bragging.
It's kind of a bummer. But anyway, the Burimbo looks legit, right?
Yeah, he looked all right. He could look better, but yeah, he's new. So,
yeah, I believe in him. Yeah. I believe in him. Let's put it that way.
All right, Gumby believes in him. He's the answer. Gumby
is the answer, not Frankie the Edgar answer. But
no way, he's not the answer anymore. If the answer is who got knocked out, that's the answer for him. All right, Gumby went 11-1. And including 2 underdogs, he won $656 on the year. You're at 54% hit rate, and you're down only $1,500 now, Dan.
For that,
only a couple more weeks, and you could a couple more weeks of 11-1, and you could get yourself out of the red and into the black. I went 10-2, hit 1 underdog, won $454. I am at 61% hit rate now, and I'm down $740 on our fancy Nancy plays. We both hit a box. Dan had double K, Carolina Kowalkiewicz. I had Cesar Fajea, Diego Fajea, and we hit both those. Gumby hit his dog, Gilbert Urbina. I went big with Edmund Shabazian, did not hit that. And we both missed on our props, Greenbow via sub, Dern via sub. They both won, but they did not finish the fights. Nascimento, our fancy-dancy two-fight parlay, Nascimento via sub, did not hit, and Edmund Shabazian did not hit. So we didn't hit those at all, but yeah, Gumby is up. Let me see. His locks, you're at 75%, and you're up 10% return on investment. And your props, you're only hitting 31%, but you're up 22% return on investment. Killing it.
I'll allow it.
And I'm losing in all of those. That's why I didn't mention any of mine. So, all right. that is it for the UFC. They're taking a week off, but as Dan has alluded to, we have Road to UFC coming up that we'll be discussing over the next few episodes. That's a quick preview of what's next for the UFC. So June 3rd will be the next edition of the UFC from the UFC Apex, as per usual. UFC Fight, UFC and ESPN, actually it's called, or UFC Fight Night. Cara France versus Al Bazzi. So we get flyweights in the main event, which is good to see. It was originally going to be Jack Hermanson versus Brendan Allen, but that has been taken off the slate because Hermanson got injured. So here's what we got. On ESPN, the main card is Kai Kara France versus Amir Albazi, Alex Caceres, Daniel Pineda, Tim Elliott, Victor Altamirano, Karine Silva, Ketlin Souza, and Jamie Malarkey and Graham Kutiladze. Kutiladze. It's like
Kutiladze.
We haven't talked about him for a while. Prelims: Abubakar Nurmagomedov, Alazio Zaleski Dos Santos, John Castaneda, Matias Mendoza, Andre Arlovski, Dan's boyfriend is back, versus Dontel Mays, Elise Reed, Jin Yu Fry, Daniel Santos, Johnny Munoz Jr., Damon Blackshear, Luan Lucerda, Felipe Lins, Maxim Grishin, and Jim Miller in a hastily scheduled fight against Jared Gordon. Thoughts?
Would you believe in the year of our Lord 2023 that Andre Arlovski would be a slight favorite?
I was going to. I thought you were going to say, "Would you believe Andre Arlovski and Jim Miller are fighting on the same fight card?"
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
It is pretty wild.
And is Jim Miller a favorite? I wonder if Jim Miller's. I don't see a line posted yet.
Gordon just accepted this fight a couple days ago, so he'll be taking on 2 weeks' notice. So we know what that means, people. We know who that means. We should bet on. Good main event. The rest of the card, meh, right?
I like a lot of the fights. I love Grom.
Of course you do.
Kutatalate versus Jamie Malarkey is a good time. Castaneda versus Mendonca is going to be nuts. I wanted that Daniel Santos versus Johnny Munoz fight a couple weeks ago when it happened and it fell off. I really like watching Jin Yu Fry, even if that's not maybe the most popular opinion in the world.
No, I do too.
And we get Pineda versus Caceres, which is guaranteed to be weird as fuck.
Yep, it's true. See, that's why if you're listening to this podcast, you don't think this is a weak card. You think this is a fun card, which it will be. So we'll discuss this in a couple weeks. In the meantime, we're going to be back tomorrow in your ears. We're going to kick off a week full of Road to UFC picks. So the hardcores in the sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord are going to love that because they're going to love Road to UFC. Don't think we'll have any lines by the time we break it down, but Gumby's pretty good at predicting lines for you. He'll tell you what range at the very least to bet the fight in when we do get official lines for it. In the meantime, tell you about the Discord. Get in there. Have fun. Have fun with our new emojis. Twitter, SGP and MMA. Gumby runs that account. He's at Gumby Vreeland, and I'm at Jeff Fox Brighter. His other podcast I've alluded to is called the Top Turtle MMA Podcast that drops midweek usually. Usually has a couple of interviews and some gambling picks and all that fun stuff. Co-host, not quite as good as me, but he's got a decent co-host there. All my writing you can get in your inbox if you sign up at moneymma.substack.com. And everything Sports Gumby Podcast at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So as I said, we'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow's episode will be hosted by me, Galaxy, Jeff Fox, and my co-host, Lil Monster, Gumby Vreeland, will be there as well. So we will talk to you then. Bye.